So this is coming to you live from the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 KOA in downtown Des Moines. This is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. And yes, I'm your host, Pat Bodie. And although we already have four episodes posted, including one with Abby Sawyer, who's here. She's episode number 4, Abby and the Sawyers. Don't miss that one. This marks our launch party for the podcast. And for those of you just now tuning in, this is part of the Sundown Sessions, the third Thursday, every third Thursday events from 5 to 7 here at Mainframe Studios, where you get art, connection, and cocktails. And at 6:23, I will be having one. Okay. So thanks for joining us, and I really want to thank Mainframe's Executive Director, Siobhan Spain, and our tech guru, Alex Cooney. Please give them a round of applause. And you always have to do a shout-out for Justin Mandelbaum, the founder of Mainframe Studios, along with the board and the donors. And I also want to thank all of you for making it here tonight. And those of you who are listening, you found an alternative to the NCAA for a bit. Good for you. Yeah. Now, I'm honored to visit with Des Moines-based multidisciplinary artist Jordan Weber tonight. He's one of Iowa's most recognized artists. He's earned a Blade of Grass Fellowship, United States Artist Nomination twice, Iowa Arts Council Fellowship, and an African American Leadership Forum grant, just to name a few. And one of his most recent pieces is For Malcolm X Greenhouse, a community gardening, gathering, and meditative space constructed on the foundation of Malcolm X's birthplace in North Omaha. And just earlier this month, or late last month, I should say, he was invited to keynote a Brooklyn, New York conference titled Inspired by Malcolm X, Healing and Self-Determination Through the 4MX Greenhouse. I don't know about you, but I've never done anything that inspired a conference. Can we give Jordan a round of applause for that?
Thank you.
So as a speaker, community partner, and workshop leader, Jordan Weber has touched on topics such as race and art, street art, and Eastern philosophies. In addition to his studio practice, he often works with youth, frequently looking at empowerment. And in fact, he has shared with me his most recent artist statement, which is not a statement, but three or more provocative questions posed. And the first one we're going to kick off with today, because I promised I would turn some of these back on him. So his question was, how do we live independently of a system that is unsustainable for our societal whole and live toward communal empowerment? So, Jordan, what is meant by communal empowerment, and what is the artist's role in living toward communal empowerment?
This is the most intense podcast I think there's ever been. Spotlights on. So we're going to break the whole thing down. Is that what we're doing? Okay. Communal empowerment, no. So we talked about going to Instagram so you guys can kind of visually see what we're talking about, because it's hard for me to speak about communal empowerment quite a bit if you're not looking at my work. It's just almost impossible. So it should be, I hate to be doing this, but I am. The third line down, you can see the greenhouse. So
Casey and Andrew help people if they need help getting to Instagram.
I don't know if anybody's even looking at it. So I have a background in Des Moines, and I'll keep it pretty brief, but my father drove for Jesse Jackson growing up, and it was kind of this situation where I was developing. My father, obviously half black, used to teach quite a bit about black empowerment in the community, self-resilience as, you know, the other within Des Moines. So communal empowerment's kind of been this foundation of my entire practice and my upbringing as well. My mom used to run the Evelyn Davis Center. So the idea of foundation and communal empowerment in general is key to everything I'm doing right now. The Malcolm X greenhouse is that in a nutshell. It's everything I've been working for, you know, the past 10, 15 years rolled into one program. And I think I'm not going to throw statistics out, but North Omaha, I'm going to. Here I go.
Okay, go ahead. That's fine.
North Omaha is second or third in the entire U.S. in lead contaminated soil. Especially North Omaha. So you think of people growing food in a food desert on, you know, soil that is laced with contaminants, you know, mercury, lead, whatever it is. We're trying to build these projects to counter that. So a greenhouse that sits above the soil, but the greenhouse also has links and ties to the EPA in Omaha. So we'll give people tools to mitigate soil in their region, therefore, you know, producing healthy food if they choose to grow fruit and vegetables on their property. So that's communal empowerment within my work. I know that was a long answer, but
no, but that's not art on the walls, right?
It's not art. No, not anymore.
So how have you structured your studio practice and these workshops and put them together in a way that really delivers community in a large sense without sacrificing the concept of it being art?
That's kind of tough because a lot of the youth workshops are art-based in general, but how do you marry that into communal empowerment long-term? So a lot of my youth workshops are, you know, 2 or 3 weeks long, sometimes shorter, and I can do these temporary art installations and art workshops with them to teach them about, you know, social engagement through the arts. But when I leave, there's no funding, you know, there's no long-term sustainable project that we can work on to really continue that, you know, speaking on empowerment through the arts. So you try to bleed it in into empowerment as the individual so they can get something more than just art out of the workshops, you know, if that's making any sense.
Yeah. So since you can't do it as a program, you're really trying to make sure that when you walk away, the individuals you worked with got something to take home in their soul.
Yeah. And it's essentially giving them tools, some sort of tool to take home. I was just talking to Justin Mandelbaum about the practice of meditation. So another whole aspect of that greenhouse is monthly meditation sessions through the Omaha Zen Center. So people can go once a month and get tools to actually take home to hopefully help them with traumatic experiences on a daily basis. I've used that through some of the toughest times of my life. So teaching and giving the kids tools through art here, I think, like meditation, is just one little thing that can continue beyond that 3 or 4 week program.
So how would you describe the role of the artist? I spilled a word there that I shouldn't have. How would you describe the role of the artist in this kind of community building and community empowerment? What is actually your role?
Did you mean to, you don't like the term activism?
Didn't want to feed it to you. I had to feed it to you.
Oh, okay. No, feed me all you want. I was stuck on that. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, sorry. So what is the role of the artist this kind of community building?
I think for me personally, I can't speak, you know, for other artists, but me personally, there was a time period where I was making 2D works, a lot of commercial work that you'll still see around, and I don't feel like it was doing anything after, you know, having the background of community engagement and empowerment. I didn't feel after a while that the work was of significance in that light. So my personal role as an artist is trying to bring that upbringing into, you know, my work, and I think that's the only reason I feel like I can speak on it personally, because it's part of the mission of the work to do that. So I don't think there's an answer for what the role of the artist is. I think it depends on what the artist wants to do. And for me personally, I want to engage the community, talk about environmentalism, set up long-term tools, you know. But artists in general, the role is kind of a tough question.
Well, you mentioned funding being a challenge, but what other obstacles are you running into as you try and do this kind of work, particularly here in Des Moines, where we're trying to build community through the arts as we build an arts community?
A lot of it is partnering with the right people also. So Rick Lowe, I don't know if you guys know of Row House Project in Houston, Texas. So Rick Lowe, you know, I've looked up to him for 10 years, and he invented the row houses, the row house project in Houston. And it's a humongous grant he got in Houston to buy, I think it started with 8 houses, I think it's 16 now. It's a whole entire block to turn houses into studio spaces and gallery spaces for single mothers. So it just keeps kind of evolving in general. And he, you know, was able to do that, I think, in the early 90s. I shouldn't be quoting that date. But that's kind of something that the artist thrives on in my situation, is like getting these grants, hopefully large grants, to do things like the Forum X project. That's a huge obstacle in a city like Des Moines. You know, we're getting there with our Iowa Arts Council has funded numerous projects of mine. They've been a huge support. But these giant, you know, grants that other cities like Minneapolis, I think they're number one in the nation for grant money distribution. We don't have that here for me to do these large, you know, sustainable projects. So I think it's kind of just time in Des Moines. It's a time and situation, because I think we are eventually going to get to the point where you can fund really large projects and be successful in Des Moines. Part of my whole entire thing with my practice is I had to travel outside of Des Moines quite a bit, you know. Des Moines has been the foundation of which I've built my entire, you know, career. So I'm able to kind of come back to Des Moines to do some large projects that will be launching this summer. So we're getting there. So I kind of have to bounce back and forth. That's been a challenge of traveling quite a bit versus getting big enough grants here, you know, to do more.
Is it because we're just too small a community so far, or is there something else going on?
I mean, you got a good audience here. They could probably tell you better than I could. I don't know what's going on. I think we're a small city and we're 10 years behind in the art scene, which I shouldn't be saying, but it's true.
What would you like to see us do to play catch up? Besides, I know, big grants.
Give me money.
but you are one of the more successful artists in terms of being able to actually make a living and doing a full-time art. Kind of what's your secret there? It is while still being based in Des Moines.
I think, for one, I feel like I was in a basement for 7 years painting and trying to hone a craft in that people would want to buy. So that commercial background, I said that I'm getting away from, that sustained my practice for quite a while. But now it's getting to the point where I can kind of branch out, go to different cities and get more funding. So you kind of have to play that game of, you're hustling all the time. So you're trying to balance things out, but you're trying to sell work, enough work to pay the mortgage on your house. I have a 2-year-old now. So, you know, how you pay for a human being. Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, getting big enough grants to make bigger moves, like as an artist, to do bigger things, to get bigger shows. So it's just a stepping stone. It's consistent building to get to the next level. And that same time, I feel like I've been honing my practice. And my practice is the same as construction at this point, which I worked after college for 4 years. So getting to that point where I can make a good amount doing what I'm doing right now, but then doing these side things also, you know. But I mean, I don't have to hustle as much as I used to. I feel like I'm in a good spot right now, you know.
What's the role of imagination in your work?
Pan's Labyrinth as a kid. Like, that's all I gotta say. Like, that movie kind of set and piqued my interest in doing art in general. Besides my mom, my mom went to Drake for art. So I don't know. It's something that I think you're born with, imagination in general. I don't know where else to go with that.
It's not something you have to work on. It just comes to you.
I've never had a problem coming up with an idea. It's a problem of like telling my wife too many ideas, and like she's like, all right, I don't know about that one, you know? And it's me spewing ideas constantly. So like now, before I was at a point where I would, you know, generate some revenue from a big painting, and then I'd have this idea to do a sculpture or a community piece, and I would go out and I'd buy all this stuff, and then the idea wasn't that great. So now I'm sitting there with, like, in my studio right now up the street. If you open the garage door, there's at least 15 rims, 24-inch rims in there. There's a taxidermied wolf. I mean, cut up cop cars from previous shows, you know, so I feel like I'm hitting the mark more with imagination where I can kind of filter out, you know, what's a little bit too much.
Well, before we close, take that imagination and paint a picture for us, if you will, about kind of the ideal community of by and for the arts.
Oh,
what could or should we look like? One with social and environmental justice as its foundation.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Sure.
You know, every other city, we have the Des Moines Arts Center, and it's amazing. You know, I grew up going to that space, but we don't have anything like Omaha has the Union for Contemporary Art. Minneapolis has too many things to think about, but they have like juxtaposed youth organization where it's like arts, it's built, that and the Union for Contemporary Art, it's a museum on the main floor, the bottom floor is youth programming. The top floor is a residency program. We need a residency program here to bring in more artists and support artists as well. And I think Drake's doing that, actually. I don't know. So it's numerous things, I think, to like have a healthy environment within the arts in general, you know, but we really need five more galleries. You know, we need galleries with an international recognition. We don't have anything like that. We don't have a Kavi Gupta or anything in Des Moines. So I could go on and on, really. Smaller contemporary museum, cheaper studio spaces, Mainframe's one of them. I don't know if that fills up the majority of the talent in Des Moines. What else? More youth programs. You know, we need the juxtaposed thing. We have a lot in town, but I think that if we combine them to do art programming in a space like the Union for Contemporary Art that has a museum above it, it would elevate the city quite a bit. More public art. We don't have enough of that. More public art in inner cities. We have none of that. That's normally somebody doing a free mural. That's, you know, public art in the inner city. So I could keep going. I don't know what our time
Just tell me this. What counsel, advice, mentorship would you provide to someone kind of coming up sort of the way you did and their interest and passion is the arts?
The biggest thing I think for me was like getting a job first and foremost that you can do work and think about art. And that's dangerous because I was doing construction thinking about art all the time, but you need something that's not going to take you away from like the real passion. If you feel like you really want to grind it out, because it's a grind until you get to the point where, you know, it's 10 years of 5 years of grinding it out to get to the point of where I wanted to be, where I was where I'm at now. But, that day job of consistent income to buy art materials, you know, that's the biggest thing. Just stay focused if you think that that's really what you want to do. I'm saying this like I have it all figured out. Like I'm this big success story, but I don't because I'm still doing these things. But if it's what you really want to do and you're really spending time in the studio consistently and you're really willing to go outside of Des Moines to travel, to do have FaceTime and meet people, and think outside of the box and do bigger projects. Like, I think if you stick with it, it's something that you can do in Des Moines. Des Moines supported me for the past 11 years experimenting, you know, street art. That was illegal, but street art was huge because there's nothing going on in Des Moines besides the graffiti work, you know. I was one of the first ones to get that going personally in the city and then just building from there in a city like Des Moines, like cheap studio space. You know, large studios as well. So just keep at it and spend time in the studio and don't settle for doing 2D work.
So one of the things, too, then we obviously need is to get more funding so we can finish out floors 2 and 3 here at Mainframe Studios, right? Yeah. Okay. So, Jordan, thanks a million. It's been great to get to visit with you, and I hope we get to do a longer form piece at some time, but you know the cocktails do await, and it's important that we get to those as well. So thanks to Tangerine for those. Now, be sure to join us on next Saturday, March 30th, in this space for Cocktails and Cabaret, a fundraiser for Iowa State Theater Company. The podcast won't be here, but I think it'll be a great event. You can find out details at iowastagetheater.org, and the artistic director of Iowa Stage Theater, Matt McIver, will be our next guest on this 900 Views podcast. And again, I want to thank Jordan Weber, tech director Alex Cooney, and all things Mainframe. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here.